Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The River. This is Tom Fuller coming to you from beautiful Portland, Oregon, with my friends and your hosts, authors Maxine Marcellini and Jeannie St. John Taylor. Every Monday, Maxine and Jeannie get together to share what's on their hearts with listeners around the world. They chat with other authors and friends on a wide variety of topics. Some bring a laugh, some cause us to wipe away a tear, but all of them send rivers of blessing into our lives. These shows can be life-changing if our hearts are open and allow the river of God's love to pour into our deepest needs. So, listeners, are you ready? Now's the perfect time for me to stop talking and let the ladies take us on today's exciting journey down the river.
Good morning, listeners. Welcome. We're so glad you could join us today. This is Jeannie St. John Taylor, and my dear friend and co-host is not going to be with us today. We keep missing each other, but that's nice. That's why it's good to have a co-host, because when she's not here, I am, and when I'm not there, she is. So it works great. She's really sorry to miss our guest for today. However, we're talking to Yvonne Ortega, who is a licensed professional counselor, substance abuse treatment practitioner, domestic abuse counselor, and an author of several books, including Finding Hope for Your Journey Through Breast Cancer and Moving from Broken to Beautiful, 9 Lessons to Help You Move Forward. She's a survivor of domestic abuse, breast cancer, and the loss of her only son, and she speaks to groups and to us today about her journey. If you want to contact her, you can go to her website, www.yvonneortega.com. Welcome, Yvonne.
Thank you. I'm glad to be with you today.
Oh, I'm glad to have you here. You know, we were talking before the show started about how we think, or at least I do, that there's nobody who doesn't need to forgive. And I really believe that most people think they can't do it because they don't understand it. And I think you can be the one to teach us so much because you've been through so much. And could you tell us your story and some of the things you've learned along the way, please?
The biggest thing that I learned along the way is that every time I turned around, there was something else to forgive. And each time I thought, okay, this process is going to get easier. When I went through breast cancer, I was angry with the Food and Drug Administration, the Environmental Protection Agency, myself, my genes, my doctor, you name it. But by the grace of God, I realized I cannot be mad at the whole world and get better. Bottom line.
Yeah, and that's a tough thing to figure out, isn't it? It's like, it's just hard. Forgiveness is hard. As a counselor, you must come across people who need to forgive more before they can move forward with life. Do you want to talk about how that works? What do you tell them to do?
I tell them in a very honest, transparent way. It is a difficult process. I wish it were a one-time event or that I could sprinkle angel dust, wave a magic wand, and it would be over, but it's not. But if
feels like it's over.
At the time, until there's another trigger or some event takes place.
When you need to forgive, you kind of feel like your life is over, like, oh, this is terrible. Nothing will ever be okay again. So it works both ways. Yeah.
Yes, I felt that way when I left the domestic violence marriage. I thought, well, physically I left in one piece. However, I am shattered. My dreams of my Prince Charming and my perfect marriage, happily ever after till death do us part, was over. And I didn't know how to make sense of that. I had prayed and prayed and prayed and fasted and been face down on the carpet begging God for a miracle.
Hey, you know, listeners are going to want to know, was your domestic abuse, was it physical or verbal?
It was both.
Okay. And which was harder to forgive, the physical or the verbal?
Oh, my goodness. For different reasons, they were both equally difficult. The verbal abuse, because I could not stand before him, the families, the judge, the lawyer, and say, see my broken heart?
Yeah.
See my shattered ego?
Yeah.
And the physical, because, oh, my goodness, this is the man who said until death do us part that he would love me for better, for worse. And I'm afraid if I stay any longer, this man is going to take my life.
Yeah. That's tough, isn't it?
It was extremely tough. And all I could think of was, you know, how did this happen? And where was God when it happened? And why didn't he stop it?
Yeah, it's terrible. It's all the things that people go through. And I like that Jesus told us we're going to have troubles, because otherwise it would really be unbearable. Hey, Yvonne, can we take like a specific instance of another, somebody neither of us know, just a for instance, and go through the difference between forgiveness and what's required and what isn't? I've seen people, so when I say I don't know them either, I don't remember who they were, but on television, who have who have a child who is murdered, for instance, or, you know, something equally horrendous, something that requires another person being punished or let go free for that. And I've heard those people come on television and say, well, I forgive them. And then I've seen some people who say they forgive then say, I've seen some really do a good job, but I've seen some believe that that means the person should not be punished. So what do you say to them if they have a murdered child and they forgive? Does that absolve the murderer? Does he not need to be punished then? Is that what God would want us to do?
I do not believe that that's what he would want us to do. And I think of the words of Jesus when he said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. And with God's help, we can forgive. And I tell my clients that you can forgive the person for doing such and such. However, because you forgive the person doesn't mean he's off the hook. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. And also, we do have laws. We are in a community, and we are citizens. And if someone does us a serious criminal wrong, if we turn our backs and let it go, what we are saying is, we give you permission to do this again and see how easy it's going to be. They'll say, I forgive you, and it's all over.
Yeah. Well, you know, we know it's bad for the victims, for the person to be forgiven as far as, I think we should forgive them, but as far as society doing nothing about it, do you think it's good for the person to be forgiven? God forgives. If society forgives, is that healthy for them, for their character?
No. No.
Yeah.
Are we going to have a community where I can do whatever I want and there's no boundary?
Yeah.
If, you know, I look at it as my freedom ends when I infringe on yours.
Yeah. So what is forgiveness look like? What does forgiveness look like in your life?
In my life?
How do you feel now?
Oh, I'm so relieved. I feel I've had a ton of bricks taken off my back. I feel like the emotional handcuffs were removed. I feel like the invisible prisoner's garb was taken off my back and burned.
Mm-hmm.
And at last, I have God's peace, His freedom, and the abundant life Jesus died on the cross to bring me.
And do you truly have no desire for revenge? You truly have no desire for that person? Do they affect you emotionally, or have their emotional hooks gotten away? Have they dissolved? Have you reached free of those?
Let me tell you that I definitely have, but it took me 7.5 years to plow through that process. And so when people tell me, well, I forgave right on the spot, I tell them, well, let's take a look at this again in another month or two, or when you have contact with that person.
There you go. And that's the next thing I was going to say. What do you tell people when, let's say, marriage would be the most apparent, obvious example of this? Let's just say a husband is abusive verbally. Let's say that. And he abuses his wife, and she's so hurt, and she feels, I mean, I think it's literally a physical pain that you get from it. So she forgives him. She spends time in prayer. God helps her through it. Friends help her through it. She forgives him, but she's still living with him. And, you know, 2 days passed, and there it is again, or 6 weeks passed, and there it is again. Do you get to the point that you instantly forgive, or what do you tell her to do? How do you tell her to react to that?
The Bible clearly talks about repentance. And if you look at Vine's Complete Expository Dictionary, when it talks about repentance, it says the person turns away from the sin and turns towards God. And a perfect example of this was the man who told me, through tears, I used to verbally abuse my wife. But when I realized how much I hurt her, the damage done to her, I vowed I would never do it again. And now I can't even think of doing it.
Go ahead.
No, that man repented.
But what if he doesn't? What does the wife do? How does she forgive, or should she forgive?
She can forgive for her own good, and she doesn't have to tell him, I forgive you, because that forgiveness is between her and God. But she does have to set a boundary. If she doesn't, it will continue, and there's a strong chance he could then cross the line to the physical abuse.
Yeah.
And you know, Jeannie, there's another thing. What about when children enter the picture? What is she teaching them? This is how you treat another person. This is what you say and do to get your own way, to stay in control. And there's no such thing as a win-win situation.
Yeah.
Devastating lessons.
It is. And I've seen people I know personally a woman who, she thought her kids would grow up and they would be fine, and they're not. They're like her husband. They're mean.
Oh, yes. And that is one of two things that can happen. One is that they will turn out just like the one who batters with his mouth.
Yeah.
The other possibility is that these children will then become victims, and they will marry someone who beats them up with their mouth.
Not a good picture, is it?
It's a sad one.
Did you personally deal with bitterness? Because I think that's probably the biggest issue, or one of the biggest issues with forgiveness.
Yes, yes. And yes, it is one of the biggest issues. And yes, I did. Oh, my goodness. I can remember reading about Moses and Miriam in Numbers 12. And when she spoke against him, and Moses forgave her and interceded for her because she had spoken against God's anointed, and God gave her leprosy. And I said, oh, my goodness, he forgave her? What? She's only spending 7 days outside of the camp? And I said, you know what, God? Right now, the way I feel, if you were to give my former husband leprosy, I would be overjoyed. And don't think for a minute I would intercede for him.
So did you ever trust your husband again? Would you ever have trusted your husband again? Are you supposed to trust again if you forgive? If you don't, does it mean you haven't forgiven?
You can forgive and not trust. Because, first of all, trust is earned. It's not thrown out there like pearls before swine.
Yeah.
And as one woman told me, if I had trusted the neighbor who sexually abused me when I was a child and gone back to that house, played in his yard, gone inside, he would have done it again. She learned, this is not a safe situation.
Yvonne, the final chapters of your book offer steps toward forgiveness. Can you go through some of these for our listeners?
Mourn the offenses against you or your losses. It's all right to sit before God and pour out your heart and say, you know what, God, this is how he hurt me. This is how he broke my heart. These are the things he said to me. These are the things he did to me and our children. You have to know what it is that you're going to forgive. I always tell people it is such a long, difficult process that you need to schedule time on your calendar to work on the steps of forgiveness. It might be a short time at the beginning, 15, 20 minutes each day. Maybe later on you might want to say, all right, I'll work half a day every other day, or maybe once a week for a while. You might want to go to the beach with your Bible, your journal, and a lot of tissue and work on it. Work on it till you know you are bathed in God's peace and you sense his presence, his power, and his purpose for your life. God's purpose is not for the person to be stuck in the past. And that's why.
So,
go ahead.
No, is it going to require a whole lot of time if you have an abuser who does not stop abusing? Or are you saying, I mean, what do you do if it's a marriage? Do you leave them?
I did.
And I think some people should with physical abuse. But what if it's verbal abuse? Do you leave them?
If it's verbal abuse, you might need to separate for a while and say, you need to go into counseling with a professional counselor, and you need to do whatever that counselor requires. And one or two sessions with the counselor in which the batterer blames the wife and says, well, if she would only cook meals better, if she would have the house cleaner, if she would put the children to bed earlier, that's not repentance. That's not a change. She needs to set boundaries, healthy boundaries. Her own peace is at stake. And the example she's giving her children is on the line. She has to change it.
You seem to indicate in your book that the shame and the guilt that the abuser tries to heap on his victim actually belongs to the abuser. And you say that victims should not take this on themselves.
Right.
Explain that and tell us how the victim can keep from taking that on themselves. Rush Limbaugh has a saying, which is a silly saying, but not too far from truth, which is you hear something 13 times and it becomes truth. And I think that's what happens. It's like brainwashing
right.
with the victims.
It is brainwashing, and that's why it requires an immediate stop.
Yeah.
And I say that with 2020 hindsight in
yeah.
my own situation. But what he will always do, it's like an alcoholic or a drug addict. Well, if she
sure.
would stop nagging me, I wouldn't drink. I wouldn't use
sure.
cocaine or whatever.
Yeah.
If I had had a fair judge, if the lawyer had really done his job, if my PO didn't have a grudge against me, I wouldn't drink, I wouldn't smoke weed.
Yeah.
You know, the excuses are there forever
yeah.
until you say no more.
Yeah. Do you have forgiveness totally conquered?
You know, I really thought I did until I went to our child's funeral, the celebration of life, the burial, all of those things. And I saw the obituary in the newspaper, and he listed himself and his second wife as the parents. And way down in the obituary listed me as the biological mother.
Oh,
and
I'm so sorry.
Oh, my word. Yeah. I could hardly talk. I was shattered. And I said to my friend afterwards, this makes me look like a surrogate mother or a teen mama who had a baby out of wedlock
yeah.
and gave it up. You know?
Yeah.
And it was none of those things.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it all came
rushing
back.
How old was your child when he died?
He was already out of wedlock. He had graduated from college. He was older.
Oh.
And it was a brutal loss.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
that required forgiveness, too. But
yeah.
When that trigger occurred, I said, God, for my own good, I have to forgive him. Not for him. For me.
What did it do for
my
you?
Future.
What did it do for
I
you
would
to forgive him?
I was able to go on with my life. I was able to plan a better, bigger, wonderful life.
Yeah.
As an author, a speaker coach, traveling around the country, doing so many wonderful things, meeting fabulous, interesting people. Talking to you on the radio right now.
Well, I'm loving this. You know what? We're running out of time, and I hate it. Tell me, are there any circumstances, and we'll end with this one, where unforgiveness is justified? But before you answer that, will you tell listeners how they can get your book?
They can go to Amazon.com and look up Moving from Broken to Beautiful through Forgiveness.
Okay. All right, now, are there ever any circumstances where unforgiveness is justified?
I will answer that by saying Jesus on the cross never once said, it is finished, except for. And so we cannot say, I forgive, except for.
Yeah.
And that was the toughest lesson for me.
Yeah. That's not an easy one. No.
But it is possible.
Well, listeners, what I would say is I'm sorry that we're out of time. I feel like I've let you down because this is so good. And I think that the book has a whole lot more to say about this. And if forgiveness is something that you want to learn more about and that you're struggling with, and I think everybody struggles with it. Am I wrong about that, Yvonne? Don't you think everybody does?
Oh, yes. In fact, when I speak for luncheons, retreats, dinners, whatever the occasion, I speak on forgiveness, and I see people just well up with tears. I see people lean over and hold their stomach, and it is something that is crippling the body of Christ.
And it literally cripples the physical body and as well as the body of Christ. So
that's right.
Well, thank you so much for coming today. It's been wonderful. And listeners, we'll see you again this time next week. Maxine should be with me.
This is Tom Fuller saying thank you for joining us on The River today. I pray blessings have come your way. Please check out our hosts' websites to learn a little more about them. Maxine Marcellini is the author of Rebuilding Families $1 at a Time, Blended Families, and Raising Children in Blended Families. She's a life coach whose website, rebuildingfamilies.net, is full of family helps and resources. Jeannie St. John Taylor is the author and illustrator of more than 25 books for adults as well as children. You'll find her books plus a link to read her newest biblical fiction, City of a Thousand Gods, on her website at jeanniestjohntaylor.com. All our programs are archived for later listening enjoyment. Consider posting a comment after today's show. And please let your friends know about what's happening at The River. Most of all, remember, you are never alone in this river called life. Jesus is with you and only a prayer away.